This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Marketing Mojo. I'm Maya Tan. We're continuing with part two of our series with Hando Sinisalu, CEO of Best Marketing International Estonia, and we're talking about what works and what doesn't in digital marketing. We spoke about some good advertising, some bad advertising, how to manage money, how to manage communications in a crisis. If you missed any part of last week's episode, do catch up with the podcast on www.bfm.my. And so, on to the conversation about money. Well, let's look at money then. Traditionally, people allocate a percentage of their revenue to marketing, and a lot of it now goes into digital. So in your opinion, what's worth investing in and what's not? Just looking at media spend and not production spend.
Well, I think nowadays it's really important to test. So digital advertising allows you to test ideas on a relatively small scale. And then if these ideas work, you can actually expand them. And then targeting, you can actually do very precise targeting. And this is another hot topic, is related to big data. We've seen many campaigns where really small brands with really small budgets have been able to successfully compete with the big ones, just very cleverly using the data that is available. There is an example from Australia where a cold remedy called Irish Moss, for example, they had to fight with the big ones like Glaxo and others, big brands with huge media spend. Because the flu season, then everybody is advertising on television, and the small brands just don't have money for that. So instead, they really looked at the data, and they're very precisely looking at Google search data, looking at the data from the weather information, and also the data from the doctors, general practitioners. They were able to identify very exactly by the regions of Australia when the flu season starts, when people start to search for flu remedies on internet, and target those people exactly at that time, at that place, and saving a lot of money. So using big data cleverly actually can it's even like equalizing the playing field between the big brands and small brands, because using big data cleverly can save a lot of money. On the other hand, it's very labor intensive. So the agencies or whoever is working on that project, they usually have to spend a lot of time digging into that data and analyzing it. But definitely it can reduce a lot of media spend. As I said before, marketing expenditure may even increase, but more and more money goes to other things than media. It goes to research, analyzing data, creating content, production, all that kind of things.
Yeah, that was my next question, actually, dealing with the Internet of Things and big data. Are there any other platforms or channels that you see will be huge in future, in the near future?
Well, everybody's talking about the mobile. If you go to marketing events, then every now and then you hear somebody saying that this is the year of a mobile. And I've been hearing that for many years already. According to the latest reports, there are over 5 billion mobile phones in the world, and almost 40% of them already are smartphones. So it's a huge opportunity for the marketers, but marketers have been quite bad, I would say, in utilizing the mobile media. And one reason for that is that people just don't want to be those to get those intrusive marketing messages on their mobiles. So that's a really, I would say, one of the biggest challenges for marketers is to understand how they can use mobile media to distribute their marketing messages. Of course, apps is one way, and you know, many brands have created their apps. But if you look at the top list or charts of the most popular apps, you don't find any branded apps there. most of the apps that people actually use are either entertainment like games or very high utility like weather or news or banking or something like that. So brands have really difficult times to understand how to use apps to communicate their message and be relevant. And there are a few good examples. My favorite one is from Singapore, what McDonald's did in Singapore. They discovered that alarm is the function that almost everybody is using. So they created an alarm app. And since McDonald's had a challenge to popularize their breakfast menus and wanted to have more people to visit the restaurants in the morning. And of course, you know, you wake up, morning, breakfast, you know, they go together well. So they created an app called Surprise Alarm. So people could, when they downloaded it, they had a different surprise every morning. Some mornings it was a joke, some mornings it was a new song, some mornings it was a free voucher to receive a breakfast or coffee from McDonald's. And this app was extremely successful. And in addition to the fact that so many people downloaded the app, they kept that app, they kept using it, because this is another problem. People download the app and they maybe use it once or twice and then they just forget it. In that case, the app, since you need alarm pretty much every morning, after 3 months of the launch of this app, over 90% of people were still using that. So initially it was planned as a short-term campaign, but since it was so popular, the McDonald's had to keep it running.
That's probably quite an innovative and unobtrusive way of doing things. Do you see possibilities of using geolocation on mobiles? Say, for example, you are approaching a Starbucks and you would get a message saying, oh, 10% off if you get a latte right now or within the next half hour or 2 hours. Is that? Do you see that happening a lot more?
Well, yes and no. It sounds so obvious that it's a good way of doing it. But on the other hand, it's been done old ways also. So like those human sandwiches, people wearing the commercial messages walking around. You can have a signpost saying that next Starbucks, 100 meters, 10% off or something. So there's nothing new about it. And I think that, you know, it may work sometimes, but if you're in a big city, there is a next Starbucks always. I mean, the concentration of Starbucks and McDonald's in the city centers of big cities is so big that you really don't, just wherever you look, you see some Starbucks or McDonald's. So I don't think that it's very relevant anymore.
Well, I'm speaking to Hando Sinisalu, CEO of Best Marketing International Estonia, and we're continuing with our conversation on digital marketing. More when we come back on Marketing Mojo BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. This is Maya Tan and you're listening to Marketing Mojo. Hando Sinisalu is here. He is CEO of Best Marketing International Estonia. And we're talking about digital marketing. Of course, we're continuing the conversation from last week. If you've missed any part of today's show or last week's show, do catch up with the podcast on www.bfm.my. Are there any other updates in existing channels in the digital space that people should be aware of? For example, I think on YouTube, the ad options have really increased. You could be watching maybe a music video and then halfway in between, you know, an ad pops up and you could be watching a 40-minute Korean ad if you don't press skip. And there is also the fact that you don't only see the ad right at the start of the video, it's peppered all the way through.
Yeah, well, I think one of the interesting developments is what it's called shoppable video, and it's used a lot in e-commerce sites. And the idea is that, for example, if you're a fashion retailer and you want to demonstrate and sell fashion accessories, then instead of just demonstrating in a old way, like product photo, still photograph, you would do a music video with a pop star. And the pop star would wear the products, and then the viewers actually, while enjoying the video and the song, they can click on those items and buy them instantly. And this has become a real popular. A UK fashion retailer, ASOS, is using it. They hired a pop star, Ellie Goulding, to actually be their star and sing in their kind of commercials. And everything she was wearing was shoppable also. And shoppable content, not only on videos, but everywhere. So there are different startups working on such kind of approach that the way of showcasing products in e-commerce sites has become more interesting than just still photos. So there are a lot of moving images. L'Oreal recently launched an app where you can try on cosmetics, different like lipstick, for example, and not on your still picture, but on your video. So they really have made a very scientifically complicated facial recognition software so that, you know, you can smile, you can do all kind of facial movements, and you still, it looks natural on you. So there are many, many interesting developments. Also wearable technologies, so that you... There are so many different wristbands and watches available that, you know, probably you need longer arms to accommodate them all, starting with Nike, Fuel Band, Apple Watch, Sony has one. Yesterday we had a speech in the conference about Nissan, a car company, also developing a watch or a wristband. So these wearable technologies are also emerging. I probably could talk forever because it's so exciting area and there are so many interesting things happening. But I would say that very often this, you know, the experiments that are done in the early stages are brave, but they are not commercially very successful. And you never know if these things become really mainstream, if they work or not, because... many things actually never take off, although initially the idea may seem very, very promising, but people just don't adopt it. So on one hand, I would encourage the brands to try all new things, but on the other hand, probably the safer way would not be number one, but wait a little bit and see if this works. I mean, iPod was not the first MPG player. There were others before, so Apple was actually not really innovating it. Apple was just the first to execute it in a perfect way and made it mass. So you don't need to be the first always, but you need to better choose the right time and then launch your innovative product to the market or solution.
Yeah, and also apart from not being number one, something that may work for Geico, for example, may not work for you, depending on
well,
your brand.
But on the other hand, I would encourage brands to look outside their category, because if you're a bank, for example, you need to also look at advertising and campaigns from other industries, because very often the ideas, because consumers, we are still humans. And it doesn't matter if you're a food brand or a financial services brand. There are, you know, kind of the general ways of how humans interact and what they're interested in. They are pretty much universal. It doesn't matter if you're in Asia, if you're in America or Europe, or if you are in a food or financial services sector. You can still copy those strategies and ideas from other places.
Mm-hmm. And get better results.
Yes, absolutely.
Thanks very much for your time. Hando Sinisalu, CEO of Best Marketing International Estonia. If you missed any part of today's show or last week's, do download the podcast on www.bfm.my. This is Marketing Mojo on Resource Center. I'm Maya Tan for BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.